Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel. Joining us here on this Thursday morning, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, great to be back on the mic with you twice in 1 week. I recall we had a top of the morning podcast with our colleague Kurt Ryman from CIO a couple of days ago, but a lot going on as always. So glad you can join us again.
Well, thanks for having me. And it's amazing how much has happened since we spoke just a few days ago.
Definitely. And to that point of our conversation today, we'll take more of a geopolitical tilt. So let's get right into it. I know President Trump earlier this week traveled to Turkey, which hosted this year's annual NATO summit. Now, against a backdrop of multi-front geopolitical hotspots, and we'll talk a bit more about that later, coupled, of course, with tensions amongst NATO member nations. Shane, what are some highlights or takeaways from the 2026 summit?
Yeah, there are a number of takeaways and, you know, headlines coming out of the summit. You know, I'm personally fascinated by President Trump using the old Air Force One to fly from Turkey to the UK for security reasons. But, you know, obviously that's probably not the real headline that we need to discuss. I think you start off with the top item, which has been, you know, an annual thing for President Trump, not only in this term, but his first term, which is him taking a hard line with other NATO members and them actually paying what he deems to be their fair share into defense. You know, this has been really a thorn, you know, to President Trump. It's something that he's consistently hounding these European nations over. But I would say that even he, you know, noted that these countries have been, you know, making progress into that, meeting their kind of obligations for defense spending. So I think that's my first takeaway. The next one would be, you know, obviously Ukraine and Russia. You saw the NATO members step up to the plate and commit 70 billion euros, or about $80 billion, excuse me, to Ukraine. And some of that would be for, you know, military assistance. Some would be for other assistance. But you're seeing NATO members continue to stand strong with Ukraine. And you saw President Trump commit to having Patriot missiles built in Ukraine for their own defense, which is quite interesting. You know, he even said that he still has to talk to the companies that make Patriot missiles. Most notably would be RTX. Lockheed Martin could make some pieces of this system. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in this, but what it looks like is that, you know, he, President Trump is going to waive you know, Patriot missiles from the being made and developed in the U.S. and allow some to be made in Ukraine. And it's important to note that, you know, Patriots are a defensive system, not an offensive system, which President Trump himself noted. So this is a fascinating development that, you know, will really help Ukraine. But it's really a message to Putin that, you know, he needs to end with his offensive. However, that's not in, you know, any sight at this moment. But this may lead to, you know, more serious negotiations from going on, which have really been lacking. I think on the topic of negotiations, you know, obviously, I think that the headline from the entire summit was President Trump declaring the memorandum of understanding with Iran over the ceasefire as over. And we have seen, you know, hostilities resume between the U.S. and Iran. So, you know, that will probably be the major takeaway, you know, as leaders get get back to their respective countries from the NATO summit.
So a lot to digest there from the summit. Thank you, Shane, for the recap. Let's run a bit further with U.S.-Iran relations. You pointed out that U.S. military strikes recommenced in response to Iran having attacked commercial vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. What's the latest as of this morning, and how do you see this progressing from here? Are we now moving back into an all-out conflict with Iran?
Yeah, it is quite fascinating. So, you know, this started with Iran attacking some ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, I think President Trump is using this as, a moment where he can say to the Iranians, I'm serious about this, you know, and he's trying to push back, as I don't think he was getting where he wanted to go in the negotiations. So what you saw over last night was the U.S. and Iran both trade hostilities. You know, the U.S. Focused on a lot of missile sites and other armaments that are near the Straits of Hormuz. Also, they went after missile launchers that had been, you know, dug up since the first wave of U.S. attacks a couple months ago. The U.S. also, I think, hit a few bridges that were important to Iran because they were passageways for them moving around missile launchers and other things. So, you know, quite notable. The Iran didn't just play defense, they played offense. They attacked U.S. bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. And so, you know, I am cautiously optimistic that this will not devolve back into a full-scale escalation. I think this is part of the Trump negotiation front. So, you know, we won't know this for a few days. We'll see how the next few days play out. But I think, you know, President Trump will be looking for an off ramp before oil prices go back to, you know, the higher prices that we already experienced during this conflict. So, you know, cautiously optimistic that this is part of Trump's negotiations. Stance, but we'll see where this goes in the next week or so.
Yeah, some very helpful insight, Shane, into what has developed. And to your point, we will, of course, continue to monitor this very closely. Perhaps coming back stateside before we close out for today, Congress, of course, as we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, ample agenda of items to address with the summer recess period quickly on the horizon, one of them being the passage of the Save America Act, which we've covered here on the podcast a lot in recent months. We did see some attempts for passage being made this week by House GOP leadership. Where does this all stand as of this morning?
Yeah, so, and to kind of clarify a little bit, the House was not in session this week, but last week when it was in session, it really grinded to a halt because some Republicans defected on a procedural vote that would not let a separate bill, the Defense Authorization Bill, move forward. So this week was kind of negotiations with those Republicans to see, you know, how they could move forward. And I think what they're trying to figure out is, can they move some version of the Save America Act across the floor? And, you know, Republicans, by and large, agree with most of the bill, you know, like the voter identification and things of that nature. But you start to lose some Republicans when you get to restrictions on mail-in ballots, as many states have robust systems in place, and some Republicans may represent those areas. They are more comfortable with mail-in ballots than, you know, some other Republicans. So there is some internal divide that we'll see how this plays out next week. And this is important not only for, you know, what happens with the Save America Act, but you know, as we saw last week, some Republicans are so frustrated that they may jam up the remainder of the agenda for this summer, which includes, you know, as I mentioned, the Defense Authorization Bill, possibly a crypto market structure bill, but also just bills to fund government operations, right? We have the October 1 deadline just around the corner for new bills to be passed to fund government departments and agencies. And if they aren't, we could see a government shutdown on October 1st. So a lot on their plates. And I think Republicans are trying to figure out their their way, their path forward ahead. But it remains to be seen if they've actually devised a strategy that will get them across that line.
Well, it will be interesting to see how these negotiations play out. And of course, a topic we'll continue to cover here on the podcast to keep our listeners and clients informed. Shane, thank you very much, as always, for dropping by again on this Thursday morning, covering some timely topics for our listeners. I wish you a nice weekend ahead and do look forward to continuing with our conversation again soon.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's been good to be with you. I hope you have a great weekend. I know I haven't said it in a long time, so I'll just bring it back, even though it's not really helping, which is let's go Mets.
The Yankees aren't doing too great either. It's been a tough stretch for New York baseball for sure, but plenty of baseball ahead of us. Shane, thank you again. Great to speak with you. Again, we've been joined today by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.